Welcome to Waverley Community Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. We hope this message blesses you. Thank you for tuning in.
So I don't know about some of you, but I was in your house. Some of you might have new builds. Some of you might not have a house. Some of you might have been in other people's houses. And I was walking around over this last week and I started to notice if you go into our house, you come into the kitchen. You've got a normal kitchen. It's not very big. It's not amazing, but it's a house. It's our home. And there's a little toilet. And if you go into the toilet, there's, I don't know what it's called because I'm not a builder, but I'm going to call it plaster. There's plaster. And every time I go to the toilet, you don't need to imagine that. You just need to imagine the wall. But there's a crack. There's a small little crack. And it's been there since we got the house. And I filled it and it's come back. And as I walk around my house, this week especially, I've noticed little cracks. And for those of you that don't know, I'm a DIYer, do-it-yourselfer. I don't like spending money on building stuff up. I like to do it myself. So I fill in those cracks and I do it every single year. But it got me thinking. I was like, why are there cracks? Why are there cracks? And I started to do a little bit of research and I found out that actually there's these things called foundations. And foundations are quite important to a house. And many of you will know the foundation is important. But when I got researching and looking into it, I realized that there's actually something that comes below foundations. There's something called a footing. And I've got an image that hopefully the media team will be able to help me with. There's something called a footing. And a footing, the foundation stands upon that footing. So the footing acts as a base for that foundation. And every single building in the world, whether it be a house, whether it be a commercial property or a skyscraper, will have what's called a footing. Some call it rafts. If it's a big building, it has to have a raft because it's much bigger. And there's a building, I got excited about this. I was like, wow, every single building has this. And there's a picture of the, hopefully there's a picture of the world's tallest building. It's called the Burj Khalifa. That is it. Wow. It looks stretched. But that building right there is in Dubai. For those of you that don't know, it's over 800 meters high. 800 meters. It's got 26,000 panes of glass in it. It's got 163 floors. I know for me, I would not be standing on that top floor. And apparently it can be seen from over 60 miles away. Impressive. An incredible feat that we've been able to build. But I came to realize that this same building has got the same foundations. Yes, they'll be bigger. And the same footing and rafts that my house will have. So this that we see in all of its might and all of its impressiveness, if that's a word, wouldn't be stood there if it wasn't for the foundations, if it wasn't for the footing. Because if there's a slight misalignment between the footing that comes underneath and the foundation that goes on top, something happens. There's cracks. Cracks will begin to form. Floors will begin to bow. Doors will stop shutting. And over time, the building will eventually collapse. But we always admire what's above ground, but everything depends on what's under the ground. And it's true in our lives. It's true in our marriages. It's true in our relationships, our ministries, and even our church. It's not about what we see on the surface. It's about what's underneath. And from this, before we even get into the message, we learn that you cannot build anything that truly lasts if the foundations aren't aligned to the footing. So today I want to take a look at how God builds so that we can build the same way to last. The title of our message today is How to Build Like God. Wow. How to Build Like God? And our main text for today comes from Genesis. Genesis 1, the creation story, God building himself. And we're going to start off in Genesis 1, verse 3 to 8. And I hope you're not like me this morning that was in a rush and realized that you'd forgot your Bible. Hopefully, you've got somebody else's Bible, or hopefully you've got a phone. But a great thing about Genesis, and I love the thing that I love this about Genesis, is it's easy to find in the Bible. It's right at the beginning. And I've already gone too far because this is not my Bible. But You know what? I am grateful for it. So we're going to start off in Genesis 1. And we're going to read from verses 3 to 8 to start off with. And then we're going to go to verse 14 to 23. So let's read. Now read. Genesis 1, verse 3 reads, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that..." Wow, this Bible is a good Bible, you know. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. So we've just looked at 2 days being built, day one and day two. We're going to skip ahead. We're going to skip to verse 14 to 23. We're going to look at day four and day five. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And it was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the waters teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. Dear Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word. So we've just seen 2 days getting built. Two at the beginning. Sorry, 4 days. My maths is off. 2 days. Day one and day two. And then we looked at day four and day five. And the beautiful thing about Genesis is that I've said this at the beginning of the Bible, but it's the creation story. It's God's creation story. And we're in a series, or this year's series is called Building with God, Building to Last. And it's exciting because we build everything. Everything is built. Our jobs, our relationships, our families, ourselves. We build ourselves. There's some building that goes into it. So if everything's built, well, Building with God and Building to Last is a very exciting series. Last week we heard from Yasha. He taught us that we should measure twice, cut once, and that we should inspect. His two measurements were reading the word. He said, read the blueprint, the word. He said, talk to the architect, pray. There are your two measurements before you cut. And then he said, be ready for inspection. That was discipleship. Before you move on after you've cut, let it be inspected. And as I said, today we've just looked at Genesis, the creation story. It was written by Moses. I was like, wow, written by Moses. It was written by Moses when he was in the wilderness. So to put that into perspective, Israel had just been released from slavery. They had no home. They had no identity. They had no land. They had nothing. A people who would eventually need to build everything from scratch. They would have to build their homes, their families, their communities. They need to build themselves. They'd also need to build their faith. So starting from that point, they could use this that we're about to hear today, God's building process, as a template. They had that, and we have that today. So let's take a look at it. So we just read Genesis, and I want to zoom into the text, because there's something that, as I was reading, it jumped out at me, and I was like, how have I never noticed this? How have I never noticed it? So we're going to discover this together, and hopefully you can receive the same revelations that I had. So we're going to look at Genesis 1, verse 3, and we'll just flash it up because it won't be there for long. Just flash it up on the screen if you could. Genesis 1, verse 3, and God said. I'll stop there. And God said. I want you to take a mental picture of that. Go to verse 4, please. God saw. God said. God saw. And I'll flip on to the end of it. Oh, maybe on the next one. Oh, no, stay there, stay there. God saw, and then he said, it was good. I've got an image, green highlighting, because this is just one example. But I went through the whole of creation. I only put this image up, but I noticed a pattern. God said, God saw, it was good. God said, it was, and it was good. And this happens every single day. There's a pattern. God said it, he saw it, or it was, and then he checked it. He said it was good. And this is a very similar pattern to what we heard last week, and this is my first point. God builds with order. God doesn't build randomly, he builds with an order. And this is the order that, as I was unpacking, I discovered. God builds with the word to start with. God said. It always starts with God said. Then it was, and he saw it. So the word came, then it was built, and then it was checked. So let's look at the word. Nasha taught us last week that that is the first measurement, is the check that we should use. 1 John 1 says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God, and that everything was created through that word. So it brings about the question, well, why should we use the word? Because God used the word. Everything came through the word. But the second reason why we should start with the word when we're building anything in our lives is because if we go back to that image, God said, what came next? What was the second point? God saw. God said, it was. And this happens over and over and over again. Not only in Genesis, but throughout the whole of Scripture. When God says, it will happen. So why should we start with the word? Because the word is faithful. The word will never fail. The word has never failed, so it will never fail in the future. And even if you wanted to come outside of this and look from a scientific perspective, science says that nothing can be created out of, something can't be created out of nothing. If it doesn't exist, it cannot be created. Everything has to be created from something. And John 1 says that everything was created through the word. So if we want to build anything, we can't build out of nothing. We have to build from what's already been built. And the start of all that is the word. So the first part of God's building order is the word. It is the footing at the bottom of everything. It is even before the foundation. It's what our foundation should be built upon. But the second part that we saw, God said, and then he saw. There was a building process. Back then it was built by God. Creation, he built the skies, he built the stars, he built the land. But beyond creation, we see a difference. Noah built an ark. King Solomon built a temple. I'm going to look back at my notes because this name, Bezalel, and the tribe of Judah, they built the Ark of the Covenant. It transitions from God building to him using us as his hands and his feet to build. So there's a transition from actually God building to us building in this place, but he uses the same process. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9 says that, for we are co-workers. Co-workers in God's service. God wants you and I to build with him. So God's building with order involves us. It includes us. It starts with the word and then it includes us. Wow. God wants to build with you. with you, with me, everyone. God wants to build with us. And then the third part is the check-in again that we heard last week. Nasha said that it can come through discipleship. But what is God checking? When God built, what does he check it against? He checks it against the footing. Is what has been built, is it built on that footing? Because we already heard that if there's even a few inches of misalignment, there'll begin to be cracks. There'll begin to be floors that start to sag and dip and eventually lead to a collapse of that building. So if we're building to last, there has to be a perfect alignment to the footing. And we just heard that that footing is the word. But the check-in, I said this too many times this morning, I kept on saying check-in and I was like, it sounds like I'm saying chicken. So if you think I'm saying chicken, I'm not saying chicken, I'm saying check-in. Okay, so the check-in, oh no, I'm from London, but I'm starting to sound like I'm from Yorkshire. But the check-in we hear in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 12 to 15, and I'd like to read this together. So for you that you're using your Bibles or your phones, is 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to look at verses 12 to 15 because I don't want to miss this. I don't want anyone to miss this. If the media team could help us as well, for those that don't have their phones or Bibles. So that was 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12 to 15. Say amen once you're there.
Wow, you're quick.
So, I will actually wait for the media team because we'll read it together on the screen. Perfect, thank you. So I hope you've got good eyes. If not, you can borrow my glasses. that is not the one. So it's 1 Corinthians 3, verse, you know what, I'll read it. 3, verse 12 to 15. Once it's up there, it'll be up there. So 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12 to 15 reads, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Your work, and my work will be tested. It will be sent through a fire to test its quality. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through flames. So the check-in process is going to come, and that is how God will check what we have built. If it is misaligned to the footing, it's coming down. It might not be straight away, but it will come down. So point one, God builds with an order. He starts with the word. He builds with you and I, and then he'll check it with flames and fire. So we know that that is the process that God builds with, but what should we actually build on that footing? When God calls us to build, what should we build and how should we build it? That brings us into my point two for those that are taking notes. God builds with foundations. So God builds with foundations. And again, this jumped out at me as I was reading through the text because I was highlighting key words and things that stood out. And I did the same. So there's another image. It's got green highlighting and blue highlighting on there because I want us to see this together. Genesis 1 verse 5, it's on there. What does it say in blue just at the bottom? If you've got good eyes. I didn't quite hear that one. Later on, in blue. Then later on, in verse 8, we went through the process. Then God started to do something. He called. Genesis 1 verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Verse 8, he called the vault sky. Verse 10, God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. God called. What's the significance of calling? Well, in scripture, we see that naming and calling is an act of ownership. It's an act of purpose. So when God names something, he's not just describing it. He's giving it an identity. He's giving it an ownership. And he's giving it a purpose. We look at Abraham. Abraham had to be, his name had to be changed to Abraham because it needed to point to the origin and it needed to point to his future. It needed to point to his origin of God. And it needed to point to his future of holding nations, of having nations through him. And it's the same with the foundations that we have in our house. They work exactly the same. They point down to the origin, the footing, and they point up to the purpose that they're, or the thing that they're about to hold. They show where they're coming from and what they're about to hold, whether it be an internal wall, an external wall, or a joining wall. So when we see God calling in this moment, what we're actually seeing is him building foundations. They point to the origin, the footing, the word, and they point up to the purpose of the thing that they're about to hold. Let there be light was the word. That light that came in day one, it held the sun, the moon, and the stars. It pointed back towards God's word, and it pointed forward to day four, the moon, the stars, and the sun. Day two, the waters and the sky were made because God said it. So it points back to the word. In day five, life was in the waters and life was in the sky. Points back towards the word that God said and forward to day five in what it's going to hold. We see it again. Day three, land was created because God said it. It points down to the footing that is in the word and it holds up day six. Animals, plants, and humans. The church, what it's showing is that when we are building foundations, they should do two things. Point down towards our footing, which is the word, and point up to the purpose that God has for it, purpose that God is calling it for. The greatest example of a foundation that we have is Christ. Christ is God's greatest foundation. He is perfectly aligned to the word. Perfectly. Even under pressure. Even when he didn't want to be. Not my word, but your word. Not my will, but your will. Even when he was under pressure and he didn't quite want to, he remained perfectly aligned to that footing underneath. He was the perfect foundation. But that foundation pointed to the word, but it also held something up. What did it hold up? Our whole salvation. Everyone's salvation, yours and mine, whether you're a pastor or somebody that has just come to the faith, all of our salvation is held up by Christ, but only because he is perfectly aligned to the word. Marriage is the foundation. It can be a foundation for God if it points to the word, and its purpose might be children, its purpose might be creating a home, it might even be ministry. We can be foundations. If we point down and we align to the word, the purpose might be different for each person. It might be a business, it might be discipleship, it might be influence. Foundations are called to give a purpose. They're meant to be built on, but they can only be built upon if they're fully aligned to their footings. For us, that's the word. If they're not aligned, we've heard twice now what will happen. There'll begin to be cracks, fits of anger, pride. Church, I'm talking to myself right now. The floors might begin to dip, laziness and gossip. The doors might stick, impatience, doubting God. Before we know it, the house will collapse at the foundations. So my question to us all is, what are our foundations built on? Are they built on Christ, or are they built on something else? So we heard point one. God builds with an order. He says, he sees and builds with us, and he inspects. Point two, we've just heard it. God builds with foundations. Foundations point down to the word, and they point up to what they're about to hold. And that brings us to point three. God fills and God multiplies. Point three, God fills and then he multiplies. We've heard that a foundation, its purpose is to hold up what it's intended to. Genesis 1 verse 14 says, God says, let there be light in the vault of the sky. And then it goes on to say, let them serve as signs to mark sacred times, days and years to govern. The foundation was the sky, but its purpose wasn't activated until God filled it. It had the capacity to hold up the things that were put in it. The seas had the capacity to hold up the animals. The sky had the capacity to hold the birds, but it wasn't activated until it was filled. We might have foundations that have a capacity, but it won't be activated until God fills it. We might have businesses. Us ourselves might be a foundation. Our marriages might be a foundation. Our relationships might be foundations, but they are not fulfilling the purpose until God fills it. If it's filled with something else, it might be fulfilling a different purpose. So filling activates purpose. Bezalel, the person that we heard of before, he built with the tribe of Judah the Ark of the Covenant. But it says that God filled him. He was filled with knowledge. He was filled with wisdom. He was filled with skills before he could fulfill the purpose of building the ark. Before that, he had the capacity to, but he couldn't until he was filled. I'm going to save that to the end. And it's the same with us. The foundation God builds with us, whether it's in us, whether it's in our families, whether it's in our careers, churches, or businesses, he intends to fill. God intends to fill every single foundation. But God will not fill it if it's not aligned to the footing. Because God will not risk filling anything that will collapse later on. Because God builds to last. But this is where it gets exciting. Because we said that this point was God fills and he multiplies. Because after a filling comes multiplication. The Acts 2 church is one of the greatest examples of this process working out. Acts 2 verse 4. I'll read. Don't worry about getting it there. If it's there, it's there. I put the wrong one. I can see it already. So we're going to go. Acts 2 verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. The church were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were already a foundation that was aligned to the footing. And then they were filled with what? The Holy Spirit. We flip further on in verse 41. 3,000 were added to their number that day. Multiplication. They were aligned. They were filled. They were multiplied. But it didn't stop there. In verse 47, the Lord added to their number daily. The Acts church were aligned. They were filled. And then they multiplied. They were aligned to the word. They were filled by God. The important part, don't miss it. They were filled by God. And then they were multiplied by who? God. Many of us pray and ask for multiplication. I know I have. We get excited about multiplication. But there's a scripture that says, or there's a person, Paul, that says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, next part, but God made it grow. We've learned that multiplication can only come after correct filling from God. And God will only fill a foundation that is aligned to his footing. But there'll be some of us that are sat here that are happy with our foundations. That go, my marriage, yeah, I'm happy. You might be happy with yourself and go, yeah, I'm a good foundation. I'm happy. Happy just being the foundation. But there's a key. Multiplying is a command. It's not an option. We're told to be fruitful and multiply. So if it's a command to multiply, because we know from point one, everything follows a process, we can only multiply if we follow every single part that comes before it. So to multiply, we must be aligned. If we're aligned, then we can build the foundation. If the foundation is aligned to the footing, God will fill it. And only when he fills it will there be multiplication. That brings me to my final illustration. And it's about a plane. There's a plane, and you can fact check me on this. It's not a real example, but it's what will happen. A plane sitting in JFK in New York in the airport, destined to fly to Philadelphia, which is only roughly 120 miles away. If it is only 5 degrees off the destination, just 5 degrees, which is nothing. If that plane takes off and it doesn't adjust to that 5 degree difference, upon landing, it'll be 9 miles away from the airport. Which is a lot of you going, 9 miles? Have you ever heard of Uber, Darren? I was getting Uber and go to where I need to. It doesn't matter. But you take that same plane in the same airport, but now it's flying long haul. It's going to fly all the way to Manchester in the UK. Many, many more miles away. Same 5 degree difference. That plane won't land in Manchester. The plane will land 280 miles away down in London. So what am I saying? I'm saying that it's the same with us. If we're not aligned, if we don't build right from the offset, from the start, even a few inches off from that footing, if we don't build with Christ and align our lives, our families, our businesses, our children to God's intended purpose for our lives, we'll end up somewhere where we didn't intend to be. We'll end up looking around and going, this isn't familiar. And maybe as I've been speaking, you've realized that you've been building, but you've not been building with Christ. And this is the grace of God. God says, it's fine. Land your plane, realign it, and take off. Maybe your plane's built. It's still on the runway. So it's been built correct. It's been aligned to those foundations. But it's still on the runway because you're waiting for somebody else to go in it, fill it, and let it fly. I encourage you. Let God fill it up, get in that plane, and begin to fly. Because God commands multiplication. And I'll go back to what I feel God gave me at the beginning. Because I think now is the right time for it. I'll do it after, again. If you're building according to God's design, keep going. Keep going until you land your plane. Because you'll realize that once you get off your plane in the destination that God's intended it for, it won't just be you that boarded that plane. You'll turn around and you realize that there's many, many others that have also boarded that plane. But just as we were, Pastor Shiel came up and we finished praise and worship, God highlighted to me that there's another type of person. There's a person who has built their foundation. They've built on that footing. It's aligned. It may have even been filled. And saying, God, I know that multiplication should be happening in this because I've done everything that you've asked. I've aligned it to the footing. You've even filled it. But God, where's my multiplication? And you're feeling like what we heard at the beginning when Pastor Ishiel said about Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37 verse 4-7. You're feeling that plane that you've built, The house that you've started building, those foundations that you've built upon, are dead. That God will never bring about multiplication. But I want to, if I can ask the media team to load up or get up Genesis 2. Because we've not looked at Genesis 2, but I felt God put it on my heart a few days ago and now I understand why. Genesis 2, and it is Genesis 2 verse 4. This is after God has created every single thing. Again, I hope you've got your good eyes. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord made the earth and the heavens. That is not the one that I wanted. But we'll keep going. Ah, here we go, verse 5. Now, no shrub had yet appeared on earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. Verse 6. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And we'll pause there. You might be like that. You're looking around and you're going, there's no shrubs yet. There's nothing here. I've been filled. I encourage you, keep waiting on God. Because we learned at the beginning, if God says it, he will do it. What God fills will multiply. You might just be waiting for the waters. You might be waiting for the waters to flow through your life, flow through the foundations and bring up those shrubs. Because we know that from that point, we have everything that we have today. His word is faithful and it will remain faithful.
Thank you for listening to our celebration message. Please take courage and visit us in person. For more info, visit www.waverleycommunitychurch.com.